From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. People all over the world are watching as Hurricane Florence, now a Category 2 storm, heads toward the East Coast, the Carolinas in particular. People all over the world might be listening to what comes out of the Global Climate Action Summit on the West Coast in San Francisco. Sacramento's Mayor Daryl Steinberg joins leaders from the Australian capital city of Canberra on Friday to host a summit-affiliated event for mid-sized cities. On Tuesday, the mayor came here to the studio and we talked about Measure U, about rent control and the Stephon Clark case. But knowing he'd be at the climate summit today, we started with the city's role.
There'll be 4,000 people from all over the world, and Sacramento's going to play a real part here. I mean, we represent the importance of mid-sized cities in being aggressive about reducing emissions and increasing mobility for people. You know, we were designated as the Green City by Electrify America. We have $44 million to really enhance in a very aggressive way electric vehicle mobility. Mm. Within the next year, we're going to have over 400 EVs on our streets, 260 of them, which people can rent for an hour at a time to go to and fro. We're going to have electric vehicle shuttles from the University of California at Davis into the city of Sacramento so that we can enhance that collaboration around Aggie Square. We want 75,000 electric vehicles by 2025, supported by almost 4,000 public and workplace EV charging stations. That would be 23 times our current number of EVs. And so we're off to a good start with this Electrify America, with what RT is doing. We're not talking about 50 years from now. We're talking about over the next 7 to 8 years. We want to have a bit of a mini revolution here in Sacramento around electrifying our transportation. And next week, Beth, we're going to launch the Mayor's Climate Commission. We're going to do it in collaboration with West Sacramento, Mayor Cabaldon and I. And the goal is to make sure that we take this momentum that is beginning in Greater Sacramento, but we enhance it because we have challenges too. Our region does not get enough of the state cap and trade dollars to subsidize and incentivize our going green. And so
partly because we're not eligible for some of them, correct?
Well, in part, some of it is that the larger areas of the state, the Bay Area and Los Angeles specifically, have just gotten out ahead. And we are a little bit behind. And, you know, I still, one of the reasons I think I won the mayor's race is because people expected that given my relationships at the State House and my history, that we would be able to bring in more money for Sacramento. And we have in a lot of areas, certainly around homelessness. And again, this Green City designation through the Air Resources Board, $44 million. But on cap and trade specifically, we can do better. And the Climate Commission, in part, I hope, will position us to show that we are ready to take the next step and to bring more green resources, cap and trade dollars, into Sacramento.
On the subject of revenue for the city, let's talk about Measure U, because that's a very homegrown revenue stream.
My favorite topic. The city voters passed a Measure U half cent in 2012, at the end of the recession, in order to stop the bleeding and the cutting of vital city services. And Measure U has worked, and it's worked phenomenally. When you look at the statistics and you look at the number of parks workers that have been increased, the fact that 12 swimming pools and 5 standalone wading pools that were closed during the recession are now open, restoring almost 100 police officers to the force, ending the fire service brownouts that jeopardized public safety. There's a great story to tell there. But of course, I'm asking not only to continue what has worked, but also to take that other half cent, which, by the way, is a quarter cent net, because the state sales tax has gone down a quarter. So it's really a net advance of an additional quarter cent, to use it to invest in what I call inclusive economic development in our city. What do I mean?
Do you mean housing? Do you mean,
I mean high wage job creation. I mean affordable housing, including homelessness. And I mean investing in young people. And I mean art and culture in our neighborhoods. Those are the four categories.
What's on the top of that list for you?
Well, I think it's high wage job creation because we must diversify our economy. We need people to be trained, educated, and be working in high wage industries because that in part is what's going to solve our housing crisis in addition to more supply and making sure that existing tenants are treated fairly. We have great dreams and great aspirations. And we have tremendous amount of need because there is an economic divide between all the excitement, but the people in the neighborhoods who are left out. You know, our poverty rate is too high. Our poverty rate grew higher than all but seven cities in the country between 2012 and 2016. Three quarters of the new jobs in this region require high level of digital skills. And if you look at the number of African Americans and Latinos, for example, who don't have those high levels of education, we need to be aggressive about changing that. When you look at the commercial corridors in our city, Del Paso Boulevard, Stockton, Franklin, these are the centers of much of our history and our diversity. And yet for decades, we've planned a plan. And there's a lot of blight. And it's about time that we have the capital. And that's the key word, the capital, to invest in high-wage job creation, in affordable housing, including homelessness, and investing in our youth. And we currently don't have it.
The criticism of Measure U speaks exactly to what you're saying, which is the people that you're talking about are going to be hit the hardest, this regressive tax criticism.
Well, I understand the criticism, and I acknowledge the sales tax is regressive. But local governments don't have other tools, frankly. That's the limitation that the state and the state constitution has placed on us. But here's the way that I answer it. Number one, it's only a quarter cent net increase because the state sales tax has gone down. But secondly, it's our obligation to return the bulk of that investment to the neighborhoods and to the communities.
Let me ask you a question that's in tandem with this.
So, yes.
Without a guarantee for where Measure U funds will go, and because of the structure of voting, you're actually prohibited from giving a guaranteed destination, there is a strong belief that the majority of this money will end up eventually going to the pension liability, that it'll be diverted to solve that crisis and not to these challenged corridors that you so much want to help in the city.
I would not put forward this bold proposal to spend it on filling the pension hole. I wouldn't do it. I have always been a politician that has lived up to his word. And we are going to, again, put forward a series of evaluation metrics before the election that show that this mission of investing in inclusive economic development in our neighborhoods, in job growth, in affordable housing is, in fact, the mission. And finally, I fundamentally believe, and maybe it's an old-fashioned notion, that the only way over time we're going to deal with the pension problem and long-term deficits is twofold. Number one, we're going to have serious conversations with our hardworking public employees about being able to respect them always, but having to afford what we can in the end provide. By the way, I did that in 2012 when I was pro tem of the Senate. I helped lead the effort with Governor Brown to begin reforming the state's pension system, so I'm not shy about it. But there's a second real old-fashioned notion. The only way we're going to deal with deficits in the future is to grow a modern economy and to actually grow a tax base. What a waste to take this money and just put it into feeding the machine. Look, I did not come back to run for mayor. We've talked about this before. After serving at the highest levels of state government to put forward a bold proposal to put all the money into fixing pensions, it's not what I came to do. And so I want to lead a renaissance that allows us to actually match our dreams and our needs with the resource base, the capital, to be able to actually build a modern economy. And the public sector, in partnership with the private sector, we can take this not just the next level, but the next several levels and create more opportunity for our people.
I am talking with Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. Measure U will be on the November ballot. So will Prop 10, the statewide rent control measure. So are you looking for now at Measure U running somewhat separately from the discussion of rent control?
It's a separate issue. And look, I'm being a little provocative here because I feel like I must. If we don't provoke a real discussion about how we deal with the housing crisis in Sacramento, then a lot of people are going to get hurt. A lot of people are getting hurt.
Is a real discussion not yet happening?
It's beginning to happen. But, you know, I think what happens in politics oftentimes is that people get in and organizations get in their camps and say, no way will we do X, Y, or Z.
So what's happening? What core are we not yet getting to?
So here's the thing. SEIU and the housing advocates have put out a very strong rent control measure for the 2020 ballot. It would impose permanent rent control. And I've been very clear, I'm not comfortable with that. Right. I don't think that's right for Sacramento. The business side has said we don't want rent caps of any kind under any circumstances. And so I put forward an idea which essentially says, well, I don't want permanent rent control. So I put out a temporary rent cap, a 3-year rent cap. And by the way, only on buildings 20 years or older, which is where most of the lower to lower middle income people live. Exempt new construction. So controversial. And then a couple of my colleagues put out an idea, I think because I'm prompting the discussion, that says, well, why don't we guarantee 18-month leases? And I thought that was constructive. And so now what we try to do is meld the best of my idea, the best of their ideas, and we do the art of politics here, which is actually doing something, I hope, that will not only be responsible and not hurt the economic renaissance in any way and continue to incentivize supply, but also genuinely protect as many of those thousands of people as we can who are every bit as much Sacramentans as anybody else.
Let me shift topics for a moment. There was another officer-involved shooting of an African-American man in Sacramento this month.
Yes.
Will you comment on these continuing instances of violence in the city?
Well, anytime there's a shooting and anytime anybody loses their life, it's a tragedy. And your heart always goes out to the loved ones of anyone who has lost their life. But each of these incidents need to be seen, I think, on their own facts. And once again, I commend our police department and Chief Hahn because we are living transparency, right? The videos get out quickly. The public gets a chance to see. And again, I always am loath to comment on any particular investigation, but in the case last week, it appeared that the individual who lost his life was waving some sort of a gun. And so the investigations need to be completed. I am pleased, though, that the police department has been pretty aggressive, for example, in changing the city's police foot pursuit policy. I'm glad that foot pursuit now will be seen, will be used less. I'm very happy about some of the transparency measures, but look it. Measure U is in part, frankly, a response to all of this, because while we continue to work on changing the police practices and continue to spread the implied racism training, which is really crucial, we have got to be deliberate and intentional about addressing systemic poverty in the best way we can. Because what came out of Stephon Clark, more than anything else, was the generational trauma and the fear and the lack of hope. I want us to have the capacity and the capital to be able to invest in people's lives, to be able to invest in our neighborhoods, our communities of color, so that we begin changing some of the dynamics that lead to terrible tragedies.
September 18th marks 6 months since the Stephon Clark shooting. The investigation is still with its originating agencies. The case hasn't moved to the district attorney's office yet. What about the time process of the investigation? A community wanting answers and this waiting period?
Well, as I understand it, the investigation is going to be wrapped up very, very soon, and that the findings will be sent to the district attorney. So I think we're at the final stages here. And I understand people's anxiousness and even frustration. On the other hand, I would rather that the investigation be thorough and that when people see the report, it will be based upon people will know that the thousands of hours necessary on the forensic side, that all that work has been done and done in the right way. And I'm very pleased that the state legislature sent the bill to the governor, which I hope he will sign, that will make the findings and of these investigations more public than they are now. I think that was one of the most troubling things about the current process, is that even at the end of an investigation, the public doesn't have a right to see or to know. And that's not right. And I think if the governor signs that bill, at least a significant part of that will change.
Mayor Steinberg, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Beth.
My conversation with the mayor was recorded Tuesday. The Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn has since told me there isn't a specific date for the completion of the Stephon Clark investigation. This Sunday, by the way, is the launch of Compassionate Sacramento and 916 Day, which has evolved since the Clark shooting. You can find a link to more information on our website. And one more note, the campaign for Measure U tells us that there have been three polls done since August of 2017 asking about Measure U. The support rate has stayed, we're told, between 58 and 62%. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.